Welcome to Buzzed with Brian. I am your host, Brian. We're going to talk about beer, the history, and drinking. Hey there, beer fans. Welcome back to another episode of Buzzed with Brian. Thanks for tuning in this week and every week. Personally, I feel like I am still coming down from the high of episode 100. I mean, what a milestone. It was a long one, but if you haven't listened to it, Matt, my good friend and editor, the chief engineer of this podcast, him and I got together, we shared a couple of big beers and just kind of talked shop. It was a really good time, and it was fun to kind of just relish in the moment and celebrate 100 episodes of Buzz with Brian. But the show goes on, and we have moved on. There are plenty of beer topics to talk about, plenty of people to interview, and today we're back with a little style history. That's right. So today we are sponsored by briefcases. If you think about it, they're just a really, really large six-pack for beer holding. Back on today's episode, though, I did say we're doing a little style history. That's right. Hard to believe there are still stones that have not been turned over on the style history, but this is a new one. I have the Schwarz beer today. That's right. It is a classic German style. More on that later in the episode, of course. But to help showcase this style, I have Whoa, What a Night, coming from 903 Brewers out of Sherman, Texas. So there's definitely been a few Texas beers, Texas breweries on this podcast before. That's no strange state to Buzz with Brian, but this is the first time we have a 903 beer on. So looking forward to that, and let's get on to today's show. Today's episode should be a fun one, and I think the Schwarz beer style is an interesting one to cover. And the fact that it challenges the common beer drinker, the common consumer's notion of what a lager beer is. I feel like a lot of people hear lager, think lager, and what comes to mind is light-colored, borderline colorless, flavorless, you know, something that's cheap. And lager beer can be so, so much more than that. Lager beer has a wide range, big portfolio of style characteristics and possibilities, and the Schwarz beer really showcases that one today. And the obvious reason is, when you think about it, I said that this is a German beer in the episode intro, right? And quite literally, Schwarz beer translates into black beer. Schwarz is the German word for black. Beer is, well, beer. So Schwarz beer, black beer. So right off the bat, we're already combating against that notion that lager beer has to be a light-colored beer. And in this case, it certainly is not. Before I get into the characteristics of the Schwarz beer, I want to say often a comparable beer and a style I haven't actually covered yet, like I said, more stones to overturn, but is the Bavarian Dunkel. The Schwarz beer and the Bavarian Dunkel are similar. However, they're a little different on a few key attributes. Your Schwarz beer is going to be drier, honestly even darker most often in color. You're going to get more roastier notes and overall a lighter body. Moving into the characteristics of the Schwarz beer, though, like I said, it's going to be a dark beer. When you pour out a Schwarz beer, you should expect anything from a dark brown, maybe some ruby-colored notes on the edge of it in the glass, but should be anywhere from dark brown to black, like a jet black color. And it should have a notably pale colored head as well, which is a nice contrast for the beer below. When we think of other dark beers like an Irish dry stout, that usually has more of a tan colored head. The Schwarz beer should have something pale, closer to white. And then, of course, we've mentioned this already, the color is the star and show of this beer, but where does that come from? The malt, right? It comes from the grain bill that makes this beer. Therefore, Schwarz beers, as you should expect, are very malt forward on the aroma and the taste. Most Schwarz beers will give a medium to mild, mild to medium roast character, accompanied by just a touch of German noble hop character, which is going to provide a little earthy, a little bit of, you know, just a touch of bitterness, but overall should be a very pleasant, clean, slightly dry, you know, crisp lager finish, because it is a lager beer. That's what we can expect out of this beer. And to boot, The Schwartz beer is pretty sessionable. The ABV range on this is anywhere from the upper 3s to just below 5%. And again, just a touch of bitterness, anywhere in the, you know, low to mid 20s to all approaching 30 IBUs is acceptable when looking at BJCP standards. So there you have it. That is the characteristics behind the Schwartz beer. Now let's get into some history. The Schwartz beer is truly one of the classical styles with deep German roots. The beer originates all the way back to the time of the Roman Empire, so yes, well over a millennia ago, or even a couple, two, three millennia, depending on where we are in the Roman Empire. And there are a couple of interesting accounts that potentially date how old this style of beer is. So in 1935, there is a record of an unearthing of a presumably high-ranking individual's tomb near the town of Kulmbach in northern Bavaria. And inside the tomb were many artifacts, including an amorpha, which I didn't know what that meant. I had to look it up. It's really just an old ceramic jar jug that has like a bottlenecking kind of like top to it. And inside that amorpha, inside this tomb, they had found the remains of a type of black beer in it and a bit of partially baked bread, thought to be the fermenting starter at the time. So that's kind of neat, right? Like beer way back when we talk about ancient beer recipes, was really pretty simple. And who knows how it tasted. It didn't taste anything like what we think of modern beer, but it was beer nonetheless. The tomb that I'm talking about here, though, that was excavated in 1935, was dated to be around 800 BC. So that makes it the oldest evidence of brewing found in Europe when they unearthed this. I mean, that's just incredible. 800 BC, that's nearly 3,000 years ago. Just wild. So fast forward to the year 1174. So we're, you know, still pretty old, but 1174. And that was when they had first documented proof that the town of Kulmbach, near where this tomb was found, was a brewing center. And it was at the time known to be brewing beer that was black in color. So it can be deduced, you know, based off of that, you know, firsthand documented proof that Kulmbach was a brewing center of black beer. And then here, this old tomb near the city was found to have potential, you know, remains of a type of black beer in it. That could be what they found there, the ancient ancestor to modern day Schwartz beer. So that's really, really neat. And that really solidifies just how old, you know, black colored beer of potentially not necessarily maybe the style, obviously it changed over time a lot, but that is, you know, maybe the birthplace of this beer, or that's the birth period of this beer. So really, really neat stuff. And as I said, that was Kulmbach, is a town in northern Bavaria. However, there is contention here. Bavaria just can't claim all of the classic German beer styles. Therefore, there's a lot of chatter that comes from the areas of modern-day states of Thuringia and Saxony, which are just north of Bavaria. They say that they're, you know, claim of land, their ancestral heritage is responsible for the creation of the Schwartz beer style, and that they also started brewing it during the Roman Empire portion of history. So this part of Germany is very beautiful, the Thuringia and Saxony parts. It is known as Das Grüne Herz Deutschlands, which in German means green heart of Germany, as it's packed with dense green forest. So just a beautiful, beautiful landscape. Either way, and either location, as geographically it is all pretty close between Bavaria, Thuringia, and Saxony, the Schwartz beer, like many other beers, when we think about its inception, was a style byproduct of local agricultural practices of the time, the climate, and in turn, the developed preference of taste by the people who lived there. This region was a large producer of barley, wheat, oats, and rye, all of which can be thrown into the grain bill for brewing. As we all know, though, eventually that was not the case, as the Germans had their purity laws. More on that in a bit. But additionally, this region was also located pretty far north and east of Rome. So it didn't have a lot of direct Roman influence, where, you know, wine was certainly the preferred fermented beverage. So people in this region were able to drink and brew as they pleased. In these old times, beer was also the drink of a common person. It quite literally was liquid bread. I make that joke more often than I probably should in my beer drinking ventures, but it literally back then was liquid bread. It provided a lot of valuable nutrition to the common people when food was low and scarce. So, and water certainly wasn't safe, and you had to hydrate with something. So you're going to hydrate with some low ABV beer, duh. But to close out this section of the Schwarzbier history, we're going to fast forward more to the modern portion of what has turned into what people recognize and know as a Schwarzbier. So much like other German beer styles, this one had some strict rules applied to it, like I said, in the practice of making it. Even though Thuringia and Saxony were obviously outside of Bavaria and weren't required to follow Reinheitsgebot, the German purity order of 1516, they came up with their own purity order that reflected their region, and it was called Vorlaufische Biergesetz. Please do not make me repeat that one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to nail that word again, and I still don't think I nailed it. But that purity law that they came up with was very similar to Reinheitsgebot. It dictated that when you're brewing beer, what you're using for your grain bill, 100%, so all of it had to be malted barley, which was similar to Reinheitsgebot stating that only beer could be brewed with barley, except for when it was for royalty, and then they could have it be brewed with wheat and other things like that because it tastes better. Anyways, side tangent. Listen back on some other episodes. I talk about Reinheitsgebot a little bit more in depth. Moving on, though, this really helped to form the style in a more consistent manner, using a very consistent grain, and obviously they were using some roasted barley that elicited a lot of those dark colors into the beer and flavors, right? We talked about the Schwarzbier being a more roasty quality beer. It certainly has that, and I'm excited to get into today's sample. But just one last thing to talk about in the kind of quote-unquote modern history of this style is which brewery was the one to popularize this beer. Coming out of the 1500s, that was the Kostritzer Brewery, which was located in Thuringia, and they started brewing their own Schwarzbier in 1543. And that was their bread and butter, and the brewery itself relied heavily on the town's rich mineral water and the locally grown grains for malting. So it was a beer that became soon well known to people in the surrounding area. The town of Kostritzer had a reputation as a spa town, and people would flock there to enjoy both the healing powers of the water and the spa, but also enjoy the beer, right? People were like, hey, they're making a pretty good beer here. It's different from maybe what they're used to drinking back home. It has some, you know, more robust quality than other beers they may be drinking back home. And people got excited about it, and the beer style grew over time, and all things wax and wane, of course. This beer, I think, going into the 20th century, the early part of the 1900s, with just the entire European involvement, you know, whether what side they're on, but both World War I and World War II, and then the Cold War and the Soviet occupation of part of Germany, the style of Schwarzbier really actually started to wane quite a bit and died down to the point where I think it was just before the Berlin Wall fell, it was in the late 1980s, that there was only one brewery, and that was Kostritzer, still making the Schwarzbier, but it was down to, people claim, 10 barrels of beer. And we're talking about such a rare oddity of a style. And then all of a sudden, once Germany was unified again, the Schwarzbier really started to take off, and then the American craft beer movement over here is booming, and people are looking for new fun styles of beer to brew into the 2000s, and we're starting to see more black lager pop up here and there, and it's really, really exciting stuff. And I think that does it justice on the history today. Let's get on to the beer. .903 Brewers, coming out of Sherman, Texas. That is the beer that I am bringing you all today. And Sherman, Texas, for those of you who don't know, is just north, and by just north, it's actually closer to the Oklahoma border, but just north of the Dallas area. So get out your mental map of Texas, and you can picture where Sherman is. It is not a very big place by any means. It's another one of those quaint, just like Shiner is, you know, small Texas towns that ends up having a pretty notable brewery opened up in it. You know, people in Texas, much like people anywhere, like to drink beer, and they're here for good craft beer. So more on 903 Brewers. It was founded in 2013 in Sherman, Texas, by the wife-husband duo, Jeremy and Natalie Roberts. It seems that Jeremy takes more of the head brewer type role and is more of the, you know, hands-on production team, and Natalie helps run the business and generate ideas and, you know, do everything else that a brewery needs, which is a lot. So it's a nice thing that they can work well together and make it happen. So they opened this brewery, and their mantra was to offer up its best to the best, aka their community and patrons at large. Since opening their doors, they certainly have done that, and with that, they've grown quite a bit as they distribute to, a handful of states, a couple handful of states, and they're open 6 days a week now, and they are open Tuesday to Sunday. Monday is their day of rest, and along with that growth, certainly I think at least helped generate some of that growth, was a couple of big-time medal wins. To help highlight this brewery more, in 2015, they took home a silver at the Great American Beer Festival in the aged beer category. It was a chocolate milk stout of sorts that they had brewed for that competition year. And again, they won in 2018 a bronze medal at GABF for their Scotch Ale. So kind of neat. It's a big deal for any brewery to win one medal, yet alone two, and especially in two different styles, very different style beer that they won for both of their medals. So that's great. Hats off to them. And then alongside great beer, it really seems like they are very community focused. You know, they try to get people in the door. They are very open to tours. They also are saying, hey, if you're a little hungry at the brewery, don't worry, we've got you covered. They got a great food menu, what it seems like online, app, salad, burgers, sandwiches, pizzas, you name it, they got it all. And then they partner with a lot of local business entities to help serve their community and help project some good back into the world. So shout out to Jeremy and Natalie, the founders, the owners of it, you know, doing great things. So with that, let's get on to the beer. Beer time. That's right. It is in hand. I have the Whoa What a Night. Whoa What a Night. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I'm not much of a singer, but I do love that song. I love the reference. The can itself, we're drinking out of a 12-ouncer today. The beer is weighing in at 5.5%. And this Whoa What a Night can has some serious Wednesday Addams vibes, which I don't know if you haven't seen the new Addams Family, the Wednesday, the new series out there. I believe it was streaming on Netflix. Incredible. Just absolutely love the show. Love that they're kind of ripping that off and leaning into that reference to the can art here. And Whoa What a Night indeed. This beer on the side, they even say they have a food pairing, which is kind of fun. Pairs with blood sausage, split roast pig, dirt and worms dessert. So, I mean, if you take those quite literally, it sounds gross, but there's lots of things that accurately describes that are delicious, and I would agree that a black lager could pair with those things. So, let's get on to today's pour. All right, I have this one poured out right now, and it is certainly dark, but when I bring it up to the light, it is definitively a dark brown. I would not call this black by any stretch of the imagination, but that's okay. Brown fits the profile for a Schwartz beer, especially a dark, dark shade of this brown. And it also catches some nice bright, like ruby red on the edges of the glass when you bring it really close up to the light. That's very beautiful. There is a little bit of a head on this. There wasn't a ton of carb in the can when I first opened it, but there's a little tiny head, and it's a pale color, so I'd say that's spot on. And in addition, since this isn't a jet black beer and I can see into it a little bit, it is clear as far as the clarity goes. There is no haze sediment, which I don't think I mentioned that earlier in the style characteristics, actually, but this beer should have no haze quality if you are able to assess that. It is supposed to be clear, just like any other lager beer would be. It's just going to be obviously darker in color. So with that being the case, let's get in for a smell. Yeah, that's like not at all what I expected. There's a little fruitiness on the nose, like a borderline vanilla extract fruitiness, a little caramel. Honestly, a bit disappointed that there is a complete lack of roastiness on the aroma, but that's okay. Let's get in for a sip. There it is. Yeah. Okay. So this beer is actually a little perplexing, and I'll tell you why. When I think of basic tastes, you know, your bitter, your sweet, your acid, your salt, it feels like it's sweet up front, but it's not. It's actually very subtle. This beer is honestly, it has like a weird, strange acidity up front, and it reminds me of like the flavor is like the, I'm getting like the mouth effect of acidity, like when you bite into a citrus fruit, but the taste I'm getting is borderline blood orange, and I'm just so, so confused by why I'm tasting that. But once I get past that initial taste, one more. Like, boom, there it is. In comes the roast character I was looking for. Thank goodness. Glad it's there. And I'm really, really enjoying the roasty quality there. It's got some chocolatiness to it. It has some coffee roast like to it, but not over the top coffee. It's just a really nice roasty, like caramelized sugar, burnt sugar type of feel to it. But that acidity on the front end is so strange. I just can't, I don't know. Let's get in for one more sip. No, it's still there. It's still definitely there. But then the roastiness is there. Mid-palate, the roastiness is there. It finishes really quite dry. It's a crisp lager feel to it. I like that a lot. Also, a touch too bitter for me, though. The end does leave you with bitterness. I would say that when I think of like a well-replicated German-style beer, it's a really delicate little flower in a glass. and the bitterness is just a nice compliment. The malt is still the showcase. The malt is the star, but the bitterness is just a nice little compliment. And this one goes, I think it's a little too harsh for the style. It crosses that line. Some people probably really dig this. They're like, yeah, I like that bitter finish, but I just think it's missing the mark on the style of beer. And disclaimer though, this is nowhere near IPA or like pale ale perceived bitterness. It's just a little too much, I think, for this style. The balance and drinkability, it is, you know, when I think about that, we're talking about this debate, the balance of it, it is reasonably balanced out. It really is. But I think it's a little too balanced out. I think it's a little almost turning into the other direction, that the bitterness is washing away just a touch too much of that malt character for me. Drinkability, though, like, yeah, solid beer. Lager beer, solid beer. Definitely could enjoy drinking all this, and I will enjoy drinking all this, but there's just a lot of things I'm back and forth on that I feel like are a little bit of a miss on this style of beer and this presentation of it. So that being said, I'm going to think this over. I'm going to finish this beer and we'll get on to some ratings. Zero to five, as always. That's right. Past episode 100 here, we are not changing the scale. It's still going to be 0 to 5, down to the quarter point, for those of you that may be new and joining in for the first time. This beer, I mean, as you heard in my review of it as I was drinking it, it's perplexing, it's a little off for the style. It is a good beer, though. I want to say that. It is inherently a good beer. It has some good flavor attributes. It has some good drinkability to it, I think. You put this down in front of your average craft beer consumer, they're gonna be like, wow, yeah, this is nice. And it'll still do the job of opening up their eyes that, yeah, this beer had a lager finish on it. And wow, lager beer is more than just American pale light lager, right? So it's doing its job there. However, I'm gonna be a little more critical. So let's go through the line here. Appearance, it had it. Appearance definitely within. On the aroma, it was lacking. I think it was lacking. It had aroma, right? It had aroma, but I think it was lacking for the style, the expected style aroma. Now for the taste attributes. I am like really having a hard time seeing past that acidity on the front end. And I think this might be one of the more critical reviews I've given a beer. But thank goodness the saving grace was there was a little bit of that roastiness, a little bit of that like burnt caramelization effect going on mid palate. It still had the lager finish attributes. I did think it's a touch too bitter still, but there are some saving graces in here. And that's why I'm going to give this beer a good but not great score, just slightly above average in my book. And that's a 3.25 out of 5, and that's a review. All right, beer fans, that wraps up today's episode. Thanks for tuning in this week and every week. Truly, you're an inspiration to me. I could not do this without you all. And it's like I've already said this a couple times. You know, it's great to be past episode 100 now. I can't believe I hit that milestone. And I'm just excited to give you all more and more content, more and more beer knowledge, more and more beer history, and some good beer recs, if anything. Like, go out and buy some good beer. So speaking of the good beer, if you're interested in the beer, the Whoa What a Night that I had on the episode today, or any of the other 903 Brewers beers that are out there, do check out their website. They do have a beer finder on their website. And I misspoke earlier. They're actually in, after I looked, there are in a lot more places than I said earlier. I think I said like over 5 or 6 states. I don't know. They are in just over 20 states. So lots of availability out there, coast to coast. It's not segmented to just one part of the country. You can find it in a lot of different parts of the U.S. here. So that's exciting. So go check out their stuff if you see it on the shelves. And with that, that wraps it up. If you have any questions or concerns, you know, if you're still a non-believer that lager beer can be more than just American Light Lager, please tell me about it. Send me an email. BuzzWithBrian@gmail.com. BuzzWithBrian@gmail.com. Would love to hear your thoughts. Follow along on the Instagram. Send me a DM on the Instagram @BuzzWithBrian. Would love to hear you. You know, tell me your thoughts. Give me a follow. Give me a like. I don't know. Do the normal stuff. Write me a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. And then we can have a very intellectual conversation about things. But if there's anything you want to see on the show, if you got suggestions too, I'm open to that. Just send me anything. Open line of communication over here. Happy to hear from you. So thank you again for tuning in this week. That'll do it for me here. I can't wait to get back on the mic soon and enjoy another couple beers. Cheers, beers.